Good news is, the champ is here. He is the UFC welterweight champ. He was an All-American and an NCAA champ in college. 4 straight title defenses. 14 straight UFC victories. That is the second longest winning streak in UFC history. He defeated Jorge Masvidal by knockout, sensationally, at UFC 261. Kamaru Usman is my guest. Kamaru, it is so good to have you on the program. How are you today?
I am fantastic, and what an introduction. Thank you so much.
My man, it is great to have you on, and my pleasure to give you that introduction. You certainly have earned it. You've had a few days since UFC 261 to reflect. I've got to ask you, when you look back on that win over Masvidal, and it was an electric performance, what are the types of feelings and thoughts you have about the show you put on that night?
I'm just excited. I'm just blessed because all the hard work and all the everything that I've put into my career is starting to come to fruition at the right time. And so it's very rare to see it happen, and to be witnessing it unfold right in front of my eyes, I'm thrilled and I'm excited.
Kamaru Usman is joining us. You know, in your sport, and especially when you're at the top of your sport, so much of it is about not winning, not just winning, but how you win. That knockout was a thing of beauty. How did it feel when you connected on that shot? And Masvidal obviously is not an easy guy to take out. Did you know that when you landed that shot, that it was game over for him?
Well, that shot is, I understand that my right hand is something that, that could put anyone out. And it's just building the confidence to be able to do it against some of the best fighters ever in the world. And it just takes time and repetition. And of course, having my coaches let me know that, hey, you've got this power. You are able to put people out in the way that you want. But it takes time and discipline to actually train and trust in that. And especially with a guy like Masvidal, this is a very seasoned fighter, a very seasoned striker. He's a guy that's very, especially with the stand-up, he's very, very good with some of the subtleties and some of the things that he's able to do in there. And so in that situation, in that sequence of setting that up, I just envisioned it over and over while I was training, because Masvidal is a great boxer who loves to roll punches off his chin, which is something that boxers do. But it's very, very difficult to do in MMA because our gloves are much smaller. But Masvidal gets away with it. So basically, I had to go somewhere that he's never really seen, is being able to trust in my abilities, punching with a guy like that, knowing that I'm only wearing 4-ounce gloves and not boxing gloves.
I actually love that description, that technical breakdown. Kamaru Usman joining us. All those things are so true. His stand-up game is so good. He is such a good striker. He is so crafty. He is so experienced. And he can do so many different things. And then on top of that, of course, there was bad blood. In fact, I was interviewing him, Kamaru, at Super Bowl when the two of you had exchanged words. He left my set to go over to talk to you. And you could tell that was not for show. There was some bad blood. After you knocked him out, he told Ariel Helwani, and I quote, "I thought he was going in for a shot, and by the time I realized it wasn't a shot, it was too late." Quote, "He sold it to me beautifully. Of that moment, I am a fan because I love this sport so much. It was beautiful technique." End of quote. Like, I really liked the way he handled that. He showed a lot of respect. In the past, things were not great between the two of you, but then after the fight, the two of you did hug it out, and you said, "Let's drop this bleep, man." So let me ask you, what did you make of his reaction to the fight, and how would you describe the relationship and respect the two of you have for each other now?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, as a fighter, I always respect any man who's willing to step in there and compete against me. And that was one of the things that I initially liked about Masvidal is the fact that, yes, he, as a fighter, he goes out there and he steps in that octagon with courage and he goes out there and fights. Now, in the build-up, I don't know where things went south to where he started feeling like that I was, I mean, even some of the things that were said, oh, he's a coward, he's this, he's that. And that's, I don't know whether that was just him building the hype or building the fight or whatever it was, but you know, I was offended by that. And so when it came down to it, we actually stepped in there. We took care of business as men. And then afterwards, you got to be able to let it go and move forward. Because if you don't, that takes from you. It takes a piece of you that you have to carry around for the rest of your life or the rest of your career. And so that's the beauty of what we do. You may have problems with a man on the outside, but you get a date to settle it. And we got in there and we settled it. And, you know, we hug it out at the end of the day as men and we move forward.
Kamaru Usman is joining us. You know, I wonder about the way you ended that fight, too. Like, you were the champ, and there was no doubt about that. But seemingly, there seems like that wasn't good enough for everybody. And you also understand how that goes. It's never going to be good enough for everybody. But in the way that you ended that fight, your striking has gotten so much better, and it was so explosive. Do you think that if there were any more critics or anybody who had anything to say, that you have now shut everybody up with the way you won that fight?
I would hope so. I would completely hope so, because since I got into the sport, I didn't necessarily get into this to be liked by people or to for the fame or the money or any aspect. I got into this solely because I wanted to compete. I wanted to be the best. I saw something that I could compete in, and I said, you know what, I'm willing to do the work, and I'm willing to become the best at that. Now, part of being the best is being acknowledged and respected as the best. And over time, it's just once I got there, it's like, oh, they were like, people were still kind of reserved about it. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. To where it's, okay, this is what you guys are asking for. You're saying that you want this. I'm not violent enough. That's what you really want. All right, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to serve it to you on a golden buffet, a platter for you to understand and for you to eat it up. And so I went out there to UFC 261, and I did that for them. And so now, what can they say? That's my thing.
Hey, my man, violence served on a golden platter. I like that. I like that a lot. Listen, you're fighting for something greater than, as you point out, money, fame, shiny things, a boat, a watch, a home. We're talking about intangible things, and I'm watching the way you reacted after the fight, and I think a lot of this has got to come from the way you came up, right? Your family, the things you learned from your parents. What did it mean to you to put the belt around your father's waist after that fight? What was that moment like? Can you describe exactly what that meant to you and your family?
Oh, it was incredible. That's something that I've dreamt about and wished on for a long, long time. And for it to actually come to reality is unreal. It's surreal to me, because when I became champion in 2019, I was just like, oh man, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get a chance to put this belt around my father. Because each and every fight, you never know. And that's the thing, I got to be honest with myself as a human, is you never know. Anything can happen in a fight. As we saw with Chris Weidman, you never know. And so to be able to have that dream and then have it come to fruition, it's incredible. And it's just something that just, you know, reiterates and lets me know that I am blessed.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you about Weidman, and I would ordinarily, but I do want to ask you this. After that win at UFC 261, Dana White said that Colby Covington, quote, is the clear-cut guy now, end of quote, as your opponent. You've already beaten him. Is that the way you see it? Is that a fight that interests you? Or how do you see that?
At the end of the day, is it a fight that interests me? Not so much. I mean, it is what it is. If I have to fight him, I will fight him, because that's the case. At one point, it's whoever they put in front of me, I'm willing to go out there, compete with, and beat up. And they've put Covington in front of me. And I went out there and I took care of business. And they, you know, the same with Leon Edwards, the same with Jorge Masvidal, the same with Tyron Woodley, the same with all these guys. You know, Gilbert Burns, they put those guys in front of me and I go out there and I take care of business. But at this point, I've kind of ran through the whole lineup of the guys that they could put in front of me. And Covington hasn't really done anything spectacular for me to say, oh, wow, I'm motivated by that guy again. I need to go out there and fight him.
So where does that leave you? You're exactly right. I mean, everybody they've put in front of you, you have beaten. So if this doesn't necessarily interest you, who does?
I don't know, because my moods and my feelings change on the daily. I mean, after last fight with Burns, I was home for maybe 2-3 days, and I got bored, and I got into the gym, and then I gave a call to my manager, and I said, "Hey, find whoever's next. I want to fight someone now," and we made it happen just like that. It's been a week now, and I'm not gonna lie to you, Jim. I'm starting to get a little bored, and we don't. Who knows? I hear there's this little YouTube Disney kid running his mouth and saying that he's gonna do this and this and that to me. And you know, I don't make it a habit of beating up fake fighters. But you know, if it turns out to be something that makes sense, and the world really wants me to go out there and put my foot in this kid's mouth, then I might actually have to do that. But if it turns out that, you know, Covington can kind of create that buzz to get me off the couch and really give that some attention, then I might do that as well. Nothing is off the table, because I never say never to anything. But at the end of the day, I just need something to motivate me there. Because if they don't, then I'm just going to work on something outside of the cage that's going to at least keep me entertained and motivated.
Kamaru Usman joining us for a couple more moments. Man, that is such an interesting and honest response. I mean, what about that YouTube Disney kid? You know, for instance, if they were to set that up and that would ever go down, there would be boxing rules. Like, you couldn't put your foot in this guy's mouth, as much as I think a lot of people would like to see that. I mean, I don't want to say, would you lower yourself to that? Because I would imagine they would stack a lot of cash for you. But could you see something like that ever happening? And would you be a party to it? I mean, would you do it?
It's not a matter of me lowering myself to that. I think it's, at this point, it's going to be me teaching them a lesson, because there's boundaries and there's certain things that you don't do. I understand we live in a society now to where all these guys are just all about the 5 seconds of fame and the clout, and that's really what they're after. But at the end of the day, myself being a actual real fighter, it's my responsibility to go out there and teach this kid a lesson and let him know that, hey, this is real fighting. This is not fake fighting. This is not set up. We don't handpick certain guys, that we actually take care of business. So if there's enough demand for the world to really want me to go out there and shut this kid up, I absolutely will do it. I've proven that, you know, whether it's boxing, whether it's kickboxing, whether it's MMA, I can do it all. You see in my fights, I don't tremendously throw kicks, even though I absolutely can knock someone out with a kick. I don't necessarily throw them. I'm really interested in throwing hands and really hurting someone with my hands if I have to.
I don't know, man. I never thought that I would see a day where I would spend time talking to the champ about a YouTuber. And I absolutely am. And I am. And I even want to ask you one more thing. Like I love Ben Askren, dude. Like, he is such a good wrestler. He is such a good dude. He is such good character. I can't say that I'm not disappointed by what happened. I'm not really surprised. But as somebody in that game, were you disappointed to see Askren go out the way he did?
Absolutely. I was. But at the end of the day, I understand, as an athlete as well, I understand that there comes a time where you kind of pass that. You kind of lose that fire. And it's been that way for a long time. There's no fire there when it comes to that guy. And so to watch that happen, and they knew it too. Those YouTubers knew it, which is why they handpicked him. They knew it too. And so they handpicked him because they felt like this was easy prey that's going to get them a little bit more clout, a little bit more people to talk about them. And they did that. But when it comes to actually handpicking and going after a real, real fighter, and this is where we draw the line, which is probably why Mayweather has agreed to go through, you know, this whole basically training and having to fight this kid, and vice versa. If that happens to be the case, then it's, you know, it becomes a responsibility that as real fighters that we have to go out there and really let these guys know that there's boundaries. You guys are YouTubers just looking for fame, and it's real fighting here, and we have to teach them that lesson.
100%. I think that's kind of what Daniel Cormier was trying to impress upon him, But again, man, those YouTubers, say what you want about them. They may cross the boundary. They may not be, quote, real fighters, but they're good at what they do. Like, that was smart. I'd even argue that that went as well for that guy as it did DC, even though DC was trying to say, hey, listen, man, you're crossing boundaries here. We are real fighters here. Yet the YouTuber kind of gets over in the exchange because he got him, he kind of hooked him, right? He kind of baited him into responding. Again, we've spent a lot of time on the YouTuber. They got over on me. They got me to talk about him again. Last thought. Listen, Kamara, when you talk about what's interesting to you and the fact you've beaten everybody put in front of you, is GSP in the back of your mind at all? Because when we talk about the greatest 170-pound fighters of all time, it's you and it's him. Is that something that's in the back of your mind? Could that ever happen?
Absolutely. It was in the back of my mind, and it was something that I definitely was interested in and given a lot of thought to. But over time, I started to watch that dwindle away and started to realize that that it potentially won't happen. And I had to come to terms with that, because at the end of the day, and George St. Pierre has come to terms with this, at the end of the day, there's the best fighters at different eras and different times. And while George was in this sport, he was the best. He knew that. And that era has passed, and he's honest with himself about that. And I've seen there's one quote that he said, and he said, fighters of today are better than fighters of yesterday. And fighters of tomorrow will be better than fighters of today. And that is such an honest statement. And the fact that he knows that and he acknowledges that is so real, because at the end of the day, fighters will improve. They will get better. They will learn from all the techniques that we're doing now, just like we have learned from all the techniques that George and these guys used to do. Of course, George can still in some ways compete, which is why that fight intrigued me. But I understand and I know that he's being honest with himself by saying, I'm going to walk away because I don't want to come in and potentially be hurt by these fighters of this new generation who know more than we did in our height of our careers.
All right, so finally, I never, ever keep a guest this long, but this conversation has been so fascinating. I appreciate you so much for doing it. If it's really hard, a final thought, if it's really hard to compare athletes in any sport from one generation across to another, that said, is your end goal to go down as the greatest fighter in UFC history? Is that important to you?
I think I don't really place a lot of importance into that title per se right now, but I think if I continue to focus on the next task at hand and the next opponent at hand, by the time I'm said and done, everyone would look back on my career as they are comparing now and say, wow, this guy really was something special, because he went through everyone, not only once, he did it twice, and basically cemented himself as the best to ever do it.
I think so. I think that's fair. UFC welterweight champion. He defeated Jorge Masvidal by knockout at UFC 261. That makes 14 straight UFC wins. Second longest winning streak in UFC history. Kamaru Usman, champ. Great to have you on the show. And I do apologize. I did not mean to keep you that long. I got a little caught up in the conversation, man. So good to talk to you, though. Thank you very much for doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's my pleasure, and it's one of those things that I'm glad to actually be able to have conversations about certain things. Of course, the YouTuber, he sneaks in there here and there, which is what he wanted the whole time. But obviously, it is what it is. Now I'm just seeing what's next and focus on basically I'm doing what I need to do and outside of the octagon. And part of that is, I will have my own NFT collection dropping. It's a collaboration with Impossible Brief, amazing guys. NFT collection will be dropping May 16th, and I'm excited for that. And that I would say now that's the next chapter, is building things outside of the octagon.
Hey, listen, because you are so good on all things inside the octagon, anytime you want to come on and talk about things outside the octagon, I would have the same interest and enthusiasm to hear about that too. So keep that in mind, right? The door is always open for you right here, and I would love to get into those things with you too.
Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate you.
Kamaru, appreciate you very much. Have a great day. Really appreciate you, champ. If I'm champing him, I appreciate him. class act, amazing fighter, and really interesting on the quote, YouTuber. YouTuber wins the day again. Got me and Kamaru Usman to talk about him. And the thing about it is, it's a decent conversation about the YouTuber. Like, I'm not, notice what I'm not saying about the YouTuber, that he doesn't matter, that this isn't a valid conversation. It is. It does matter.